In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oftentimes, we don't spend the amount of necessary time with John the Baptist that he truly deserves, in large measure because, to a certain degree, he frightens us. The courage with which he preaches and proclaims the gospel, never mindful of those around him, principalities, mights, powers, it makes no difference to him. The manner in which he dresses is confusing to those who see him, and his response to the priests and Levites and the Pharisees confounds them. They know not what to make of him and how to respond to him. Such is a greater sadness precisely because he himself testifies to that there is one among them that they do not recognize, that they do not know. Of course, John's prologue, which we hear at the conclusion of every Mass, begins with that reality, that recognition, that the Lord came among his own, but his own did not know him. Blindness of heart, hardness of heart, maybe even an anticipation for the coming of Christ, but because he doesn't come in the manner that they want or anticipate, they're unable to see he who is indeed present in their midst. But John, who leapt for joy in his mother's womb, has known, even before he himself began to preach and proclaim, that indeed the Lord is among them. And the response that he had is the one we are encouraged from St. Paul's exhortation to the Philippians, to rejoice. I say again, rejoice always. Have no anxiety or fear because the Lord is near. Indeed, this time of Advent, as we well know, is about preparation. But preparation is going to eventually lead to action. But action may not necessarily be in doing. It may involve simply a reinforcement of what it is we already know and the manner in which we already live our lives of faith, with a quiet confidence, with a patient trust in the Lord, bearing well under the pressures of the world, whatever they may be, those imposed upon us or those that we impose upon ourselves. But in order for us to be free of anxiety, to put aside fear, what is required of us is to recognize the Lord. Not to ask academic questions that lead us to nowhere, and not be worried about what others say about us, how we dress, how we comport ourselves, only that we be concerned about witnessing to Christ, regardless of those and things, realities that might swirl around us. Again, as I so often preach to you about our place in the world, and at times the precarious nature of that place we have in the world, both as traditional Catholics, but as Catholics, as Christians, as it is. In the final analysis, it simply does not matter. Only one thing is required, and that is tenaciously to hold on to Christ, and in that beautiful, intimate relationship, to find the peace that he brings to us. The Lord himself said that there would be division, that he would be a sign of contradiction and division. So says Simeon the prophet. But indeed, that division that he creates is not what he wants, but as a result of those like the Pharisees, the priests, and the Levites who refuse to see truth even when they stare it face to face. But we need not be that way. We need not have a hardness of heart. Instead, the Lord whom we are about to receive, the Lord who makes himself visible, clear, present to us body, blood, soul, and divinity, the Lord whom we are about to take literally inside of ourselves that he might dwell in us and from that interior intimacy give us the strength we need to go forth and witness to him, let us reside in him and with him. Let us find peace with him. For in truth, he is the only peace, the peace that mankind needs, the lasting peace both in this life and, of course, for the life to come. And then the exhortation from St. Paul truly can be on our lips. I rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.